nothing left. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I say that to preface the good stuff we're going to talk about tonight, because, oh man, it's relentless. We've gone from, so if any of you had a question about this coronavirus stuff, officially, it's okay to gather together now. It's okay to get together. It's okay. If you're in a protest, it's all right. Yeah, I saw somebody say where it was up in, I think it was in New Jersey, where they're really like enforcing these laws against these churches, and they're citing them for gathering together. I mean, still in all this, they're still citing them for gathering. It's just so stupid. So one of them redid their church schedule, and it says Sunday 10 a.m. church protest Sunday. Hey, we can get together if it's a protest. Yeah, so it may come to that. We may just have 10 a.m. protest, 11 a.m. protest. Oh, it's a crazy, crazy world. Crazy world. This nation has gone crazy. All right, let's see. That on. That everything's on. So I don't usually do sermons like this. Usually we go through and kind of verse by verse, get the context of everything, and then that helps you understand what's being said, why it's being said. Tonight I'm going to do a little topical study, topical thing. And it's about areas of comfort in this life. And I mean, if you're like me, you hear the news, or you watch, or you read. I usually read articles and things like that. But there's no in this world. You're not going to find comfort. There's no place for it. And so the Lord gives comfort. I think it's interesting that right before Jesus Christ goes to the cross, John 14, 15, 16. So he says, I'm going to send you a comforter. It's almost like he knew what everybody's about to get into. So with that said, we're just going to do a topical, go over seven areas that God has given comfort to his people in this life. And if you're not participating in these areas, or you're not enjoying these areas, because that's a responsibility. He's given these places of comfort, and it's up to you and me to participate in the areas of comfort. So I'll give you seven of them this evening. There's probably more we could do. I know there's more, but seven is a big number, so that's quite a bit. But let's pray. And then I'm going to give you some areas of comfort in this life. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening go over these areas. We usually don't do these topical type studies just because it can kind of lend themselves to misunderstanding verses sometimes. But I think it'd be helpful this evening to look at some areas of comfort that you've provided in this life. I mean, we can listen to the radio and turn on TV, look on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, social media feed, whatever, and it's even worse these days. Just the constant bombardment of trouble and turmoil in this world and in our nation. But you've given some areas of comfort, and I pray that we'd grab onto these things and avail ourselves of these areas of comfort. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll give you seven of these. And like I said, I usually don't do it this way because it just sometimes it lends itself to taking verses out of context. But I think we'll be okay doing one like this every so often here tonight particularly. So let's do this. Seven areas of comfort that God has given his people. Seven areas of comfort. Let's start here. Start over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. The first area of comfort in this life is fellowship among believers. That's the first area of comfort. God set up local churches. He set up pastors and gifts of the Spirit so fellow believers could get together, edify each other, build each other up, and grow together. And so the first area we'll look at here is the comfort of fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Now, I understand there's a whole context to all this. The bottom line is Paul sending a letter back to the Corinthians sending a letter back to Paul, them communicating, and it is a mutual refreshing of believers. When you find out there's a joy over here, someone's celebrating, man, that joy is multiplied among the believers. When you find out there's a burden over here, that burden is divided among believers. And that's the way the Lord set it up. He set it up to have mutual comfort and fellowship together among believers. So you've got comfort of fellowship. I would tell you to go to Job in chapter 2. The guys... Those three guys don't end up as comforters, but they start out that way. That's how they start out. They sit around Job. He's lost everything, and they go, and the Bible calls them comforters, and these men come to comfort Job. And for 7 days, they just sit around, and sometimes that's the best thing. You don't have to say anything. There's nothing to say. What do you say? And so these guys sit around for 7 days, and just their presence is support, and it's supportive to Job, and it's supportive to what he's going through. And so they just show some I guess you could say moral support, but there's fellowship there and there's comfort there. And the Lord set that up with believers, that we would have comfort with each other and enjoy each other's company and fellowship and all that. So the first place God set up comfort was not in the news media, not on the 5 o'clock news, which has turned into the 24-hour news, not on social media and all that stuff. It's very difficult to get comfort in that. But among believers, God set up this practice of getting together to be a comfort to each other. And it is. It really is. I mean, you may not be... I don't know how else to put it. I guess you and I aren't going to change the world, but we can at least keep the world from changing us. And so that's kind of the idea. We get together and we get strength and we get edified. And so the Lord set up comfort in and among his believers. So that's number one. Number two is the protection of the Lord. Look in Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. And I know y'all know Psalm 23. That's a familiar place, Psalm 23. Now, you may not have heard this verse stated this way. I didn't ever hear this verse stated this way. I'd always heard it a different way, but I don't see it. You'll see what I mean. Psalm 23, verse 4. Comfort of God's protection. Comfort in God's protection. Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they do what? They comfort me." Let me give you an illustration. I hate to use the current situation, but I'm just going to use it. When you see police officers or people protecting other people with guns versus people just standing around hollering at other people, telling them to stop, there's a comfort that comes when someone is more heavily armed than someone else and can actually take care of the problem. So when the Lord says, or when David says, "Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know what that's like? That's like firearms is what that is. Now, I always heard this, well, the rod and staff, he beats the sheep and he keeps them in line. That's not what he's doing. He's protecting the sheep. That's why he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I huddle up under the Lord and he can protect. I mean, he's a protector. He can handle it. And so all of this, you know, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's like I'm under the wings of the guy with the biggest guns in the universe. And so the comfort of the Lord's protection, he says over there in Matthew, he says, fear not him which is able to destroy the body, but fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. He's the one to really be afraid of. You're going to be afraid of someone, fear God. But all this other stuff, and it's hard. I mean, it's difficult. These bodies, they're just fearful things anyway. But comfort of the Lord's protection. Comfort of the Lord's protection. I know I've said it to you guys multiple times, but, you know, in troublous times and in dangerous situations and bad times like that, if you know the Lord is in it with you, it makes it that, I mean, it's you're able to go through it. Now, it's a different thing to go through trouble and you don't know whether the Lord's in this thing or you don't know whether he's not in this thing, you don't know where he's at. But if you head into trouble and you know the Lord's in it, you know the Lord has guided these steps. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The Lord, if the Lord is in that thing, I mean, I personally think you understand and you agree with that. But when the Lord's in it, you can go through it. If you don't know the Lord's in it, that makes it a whole different situation. So there's comfort in the Lord's protection, which means that's not the absence of trouble. It just means God's protection is there. It doesn't mean there's no trouble. So comfort in the Lord's protection. "Thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." Here's a third one. Comfort of the future. I imagine this evening there are probably millions of people just in this nation wondering what in the world is going to happen to this country. What in the world is going to happen to this world? What in the world is going to happen to my business? How am I going to feed my family? People have burned down my business. I mean, I imagine there are, if not hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people who look to the future and are just scared to death about the prospect of the future. Which, in this world, yeah, it's probably a little terrifying to look to the future of this world and think about it. But, look at this. Look over in Romans chapter 15. Thank God, he has given you a clear picture of the future, your future, if you're in Jesus Christ, and where you're headed. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." You know why these scriptures, or at least one reason these scriptures are written down? So you can go back here and you read and you find out stuff that's going on now has gone on in the world for centuries and centuries. But you know what hasn't changed? God hasn't changed about any of this. And he's not rattled by this stuff. And so he makes sure that he gets a record of the history of the world that he wants to get to his people. And he says, all right, now you're in a bad situation. Let me show you another bad situation. And let me show you how folks got through it. And let me show you how I got folks through it. Let me show you the future. Let me show you where this goes. There's comfort in the future. So he says this, he says that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures. So you read the scriptures, you get comforted, and then that's going to provide an opportunity to keep moving forward and give you hope. Here's another one, 1 Thessalonians. It's along the same lines, but 1 Thessalonians chapter, oh, let's see. It's 4:18. This is still point three. This is if you're keeping notes, outline number Roman numeral three, little A, no big A, capital A. Yeah, this is just comfort of the future is where we're at. 1 Thessalonians 4. 18 is the verse, but look in 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now what's the last verse? Wherefore, comfort one another with what? These words. The words I just wrote to you, he said, let those words be a comfort to you. So the future is secure in Jesus Christ. There's no question about what's going to happen to you and I if you're saved. It's already settled. It's already done. Jesus Christ come back, and then we'll be in Jesus Christ, and he'll make over this world the way he wants to make it over. But there's no questions about the future. There's a sure future, which means there's hope. And it's not like a hope of, I hope this happens. It's hope like, my expectation, I'm just looking forward to this. If I can just get past all this and just look forward to this. Here's another one, 2 Thessalonians, and we're still in the comfort of the future. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. There you go. There you go. So in all of the turmoil and trouble in the nation, in the world, all of this stuff, God says, look, I am going to give you an eternal consolation of hope, and I'm going to comfort your hearts in the midst of all of this trouble, not just for the sake of comforting your hearts, but I'm going to comfort your hearts with hope and expectation by telling you how this is going to turn out. What a great promise and blessing. Comfort of the future. Comfort of the future. Here's a really good one. I mean, if that's not good enough, here's another really good one. Look over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. So there's comfort of fellowship among believers, comfort of God's protection, comfort in the future, and knowing what's going to happen, knowing my future, your future is safe and secure in Jesus Christ. And then comfort of forgiveness. How about this? Isaiah 40, verse 1. The Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Watch this. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You know those verses. But it starts, that chapter starts out, comfort ye my people. Why? The sins are about to be taken away. Sins are about to be taken away. There is comfort in forgiveness. Boy, that is the truth. That is the truth. I think people... You watch folks, there's probably people with mental psychology problems and even physical problems, physiological problems, because they're carrying around the guilt of sin that they've never gotten rid of. And maybe they should be. Maybe they should be carrying it around. Maybe it's something that they're not willing to give up to Jesus Christ and seek forgiveness for. But I am sure that there is probably a multitudes of people who carry around guilt and things that really, boy, if you get Jesus Christ to lift that burden in forgiveness, boy, it is something else. I remember there's been, I don't know how many folks have said this. I don't know what number, I haven't kept track of it. But I know a number of folks who have gone through the gospel with them, and they accept. I mean, they say, yeah, I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ paid for my sins. I believe he resurrected from the dead. I believe that. And so we'll pray there, and just to kind of seal it, you know, make sure that they want to have a little remembrance of doing this. And so they pray and ask the Lord to save them and forgive them and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what the number is, but there are several folks that I remember saying, I feel like a burden has been lifted. You know what that is? That's comfort and forgiveness. That is the Lord just taking that sin and let me get that off of you. That's great. Comfort of forgiveness. Comfort of forgiveness. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians. Comfort in faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. So we got comfort of fellowship, comfort of God's protection, comforted by the future, comfort of forgiveness, now comforted in faithfulness. Yeah, you know what I did for protection? Firearms. F, 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 and then I was like, that's not going to work. I can't do firearms. So, yeah, I had comfort of fellowship, comfort in firearms, comfort in the future, and I was like, no, I can't do that. Yeah. That's not exactly, that kind of, I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Here is comfort and faithfulness. The Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all, what? Comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So here's the process. Let's do it from the negative side first. If you will never allow yourself to be comforted by God by getting in the Bible, getting with fellow believers, and being comforted through whatever it is you need to be comforted through, trusting in the future that God has promised in Jesus Christ, if you refuse to be comforted by God, this verse says you don't have anything to offer anyone else. Because what you have to offer is, according to these verses, whenever God comforts you, you take that comfort applied to yourself, and then you take that comfort and you pass that comfort along to someone else. But if you've never been comforted by God, there's nothing to pass on. I saw a preacher do it this way, and it was a real good illustration. I thought about doing it tonight, but he had a comforter, a literal comforter, and he put the comforter over this one guy, and so he said, he's illustrating, he's got the comfort, now he passes it on to this guy. Now this guy has the comfort that he had, and he just passed it on. There's another guy on stage, and this guy passes it on, and the idea is he gets the comfort, you get the comfort, then you pass it on to someone else. But if you never get the comfort, you don't have the comfort to pass on to anybody else. But if you do have the comfort, that's what gets passed on. He says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." How many times can you say comfort in a couple verses? So there's comfort in faithfulness, whereby you are faithful to the comfort God's offered, you receive that comfort, and then you're able to pass on that comfort to someone else who goes through trouble. So there's comfort in faithfulness. Here's another one. Here's the last one. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Comfort of preaching. Wow. Comfort of preaching. Is there not seven? Oh, six. Oh, yeah, I scratched that one. Okay. First Corinthians 14, verse 3. All right, when I say, or when you read prophecy, you probably think of future foretelling, revelation. Let's do a study on revelation and the four horsemen of the all of the seals, and that you think of that as prophecy, probably. Or end times, and we're going to do a study on the end times and all this. But let's read the verse. Let's see what it says. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That doesn't sound like all the prophecy I hear is scaring people to death, about, the bugs coming and the whatever, fires coming, all that stuff. You know what prophecy is in the Bible? It's just preaching. It's just preaching. They're just preachers. And so he that prophesieth, that's just preaching, speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. I find an interesting dynamic. It's interesting among God's people. You will hear a sermon. God's people will hear a sermon that is just, man, it just really cuts to the heart and really. You know how it is. I mean, you're sitting there and you're just like, oh, he's talking about me. Ugh, oh, gosh. And then after the service, God's people seem happier for being having been through that preaching. It's like it's just stripped off something from them, and it's just kind of got the gunk off. And I'll notice sometimes in meetings and here in church that there may be some, I mean, maybe it's a rough sermon or something, but the spirit before it is a little bit kind of, everybody's kind of just reserved and backed off and not really talking to each other. And you go through something like that, and all of a sudden everybody's friendly with each other, and it's kind of like lively. And you know what it is? That's people have been comforted by preaching. They've been edified by preaching, and it's removed whatever garbage was there, or some layer of garbage, and the Spirit's been able to do some work, and now people are, this is the work, the fruit of the Spirit, their joy and peace and comforted and things like that. And so he says, "He that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort." So there's comfort in preaching. And I just think it's interesting how most people think of prophecy when you read something like that. Prophecy is doom and gloom, but according to the Bible, prophecy is not doom and gloom. It's edification. It's exhortation and comfort is what it is. So let me show it to you again. Look in verse 31. 1 Corinthians 14:31. Let's see. We'll do 31. It says, "For ye may all prophesy one by one." Yeah, that makes it a little bit easier when everyone's not standing up talking about something. "For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be" what? "Comforted." So prophecy is meant to not scare people to death. It's meant to comfort people. It's preaching. It's just preaching. Taking the scriptures, showing where Jesus Christ is in the scriptures, edifying folks, building folks up, and it is a comfort to hear preaching. It's a comfort to hear preaching for God's people. So some people aren't necessarily into it. But I think God's people, if you hunger and thirst after the Word of God, you like preaching. So I told you there's seven. There's six of them. Comfort of fellowship, comfort of protection from the Lord, comfort of the future, comfort in forgiveness, comfort in faithfulness, comfort in preaching. And like I said at the beginning, we can look at John 14, 15, and 16, but I'll just rehearse it to you. When Jesus Christ says right before the cross, he says, I'm going to send you a comforter. He knows what his people are about to get into. And he knows exactly what's needed to live this life in a productive way to serve God, not be terrorized with fear, not be paralyzed and paranoid about things going on, but be able to serve God productively. And so the Lord says, I'm going to send you a comforter. Times are going to get hard. Times are going to get bad. He tells disciples, people are going to want to throw you in jail, things like that. And things will get rough. And so what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to send you a banker. So you get a bunch of money. That's not going to help you through this. I'm going to send you a comforter, because that's what you're going to need to do what I have for you to do in this world and be productive to serve God in this world. I'm not going to send you a car mechanic, because that's not what you need. I'm going to send you a comforter, and that comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, is going to help you and enable you to do everything God wants you to do while you're still stuck in these sinful bodies and while you still live in this present evil world. And it sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ kind of knew what we need. We need a comforter. And boy, you look around now, it's getting more and more clear, and I would say this about just thinking about this. The things that are going on in our country have gone on in other countries for years and years and years. We just may never have experienced it here, but other people have experienced it around the world. It's not new or anything like that. It's gone on. Now, the big thing, I guess, is the United States of America is a humongous country and has influence all over the world. That's a big thing. But this kind of stuff that goes on, this terrorizing and things like that, this stuff goes on all over the world. It goes on in other countries. It's gone on for centuries. Not that that justifies it, not that it's good, but I think Americans, they look out at the TV and they say the world is ending, and the world's not ending. The United States might be ending, but the world's not ending. Just because things are happening in this country that have always happened all over the world for centuries and centuries, we think Christianity, all of God's kingdom is the United States of America, and when the United States of America starts to shake and starts to, you know, kind of wheel to and fro like a drunkard or whatever, then we think, oh, it's the end of Christianity, God's coming back for sure. Well, North America, the United States of America, is not the kingdom of God. It's not the place that God resides, and once America falls and the whole thing falls apart, that's not true. I feel like Americans, I think American Christians believe that or think that, or they just, you know, oh, the tribulation's coming or whatever. This is stuff that's gone on in other countries. Not to justify it, but just to say it's not completely new. It's just not a new thing. It's new to us. It's not new. So all of that said, you can just put all that behind you and focus on the comfort. Here's some comforting things. Here's some things and some areas in life where God has placed some wells of living water so you can go and get comfort and avail yourselves of those things. So let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Lord, I pray it's been edifying, and maybe we can remember these things and apply them where they need to be applied. I do pray that you do give our leadership wisdom. They're just in a place that they've never been. The pandemic on top of rioting and looting and all that kind of stuff, just back-to-back stuff, is just waves of destruction on this country. And Lord, it's not good for our country, that's for sure. But I pray you give our leadership wisdom, give them discernment locally, at state level, federal level. I pray that you would flush out wicked people. You know, just think of folks like Haman in the book of Esther, just wicked people that all they want to do is cause harm, and they don't care who they destroy in the process, but as long as they're on top. But I pray that you would weed those folks out. I pray that this would be some sort of an awakening, some sort of time where folks would reflect on their own lives, think about what they're doing, decisions they're making, and turn to you in all this. And I pray that you'd help us. Help us as a church. Help us stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of God, and keep doing what you have us to do. And I pray you'd help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.